to despair. For you and me, send down a prayer for you.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9. Reading verse 9 one more time. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then looking in the New Testament, the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Lord, thank you once again for the wonderful privilege of being a part of your family. Thank you for how that you saved us, Lord. You pulled us off the road to hell, on the road to heaven, and what a privilege and a blessing it is. Thank you for how that also you've equipped us to be kingdom warriors who know how to step out on the battlefield of life daily and be victorious as we put your powerful word to work, and as we move in the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your joy, peace, and grace. Help us to know that there's great joy found in walking with you, serving you, and following you day by day. And help us to know, too, Lord, that as we walk in bold obedience, that we will be well-equipped warriors committed to being hearers and doers of your word. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your promises. Thank you so much that what you promised to us is already done, even if we don't see it yet. Thank you so much that you have so many good things for us to look forward to and so many things for us to delight in even now. And Heavenly Father, I just want to pray that you would challenge us to be better equipped. That's a dangerous prayer for us to pray, Lord, but that's a good prayer for us to set our minds on growing in you, in maturity, growing in your word, growing in prayer, growing in obedience, Lord. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would get us to really, really get our move on to spend more time in scripture and more time in obedience. Thank you so much in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Our Ten Commandments Project continues. And of course, during the month of June, between June 1st and June 30th, is the time for the speech challenge. And so we've begun to receive the speeches. All of them have been wonderful excellence thus far, and we expect to get more. But again, if you have a son, a daughter, or a grandchild that you want to get involved, young people in your church or in your community, again, we're glad to involve as many as you can send our way. And again, just a reminder, the Ten Commandments Project is a discipleship project. It's a fun project, but at the same time, it's an impacting project whereby it helps, it's a tool to help our children come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and to teach them how to walk with God, to be kingdom warriors who walk in the wisdom and the power of God's word, and focusing on, of course, the wonderful tool that we call the Ten Commandments in the Word of God. So remember, and now if you have young people that they don't choose to do the speech, no problem. If they simply want to memorize the Ten Commandments, recite them to you, and get a free T-shirt, certainly they can do that. So again, if you need more information, again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We're glad to give you more information. We're encouraged about those that have responded thus far, and we're hoping for many more young folks to get involved as well. And remember, it's the speech contest that is strictly focused during the month of June. The rest of the project is ongoing, so you can get involved even beyond June with the rest of the Ten Commandments Project. Hope that you'll choose to do that. As we often do, want to take time now to share a couple articles from the AFA Stand that we've written. This first one is one dealing with the life issue. It's entitled Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. And I want you to really listen, because again, there's such a need for us in the body of Christ to be listening for the heart of God and how he'd have us to be involved with standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion. Again, the title, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The following are a number of testimonials of precious women who were rescued out of sex trafficking, and they share some of the very tragic and difficult testimonies. So to be very honest, some of them are a little hard to listen to, but I want you to hear again the journey some of these precious women had ended up going through, but God did rescue them. Again, these are those testimonials. When my trafficker found out that any of his girls were pregnant, he would take us outside and beat us with a pipe around our stomach and abdomen until we miscarried. This happened to me 4 times. I never carried a pregnancy to term. Another testimonial. I was trafficked when I was 13 and got pregnant 6 times. I was always taken to a clinic by my trafficker and forced to have an abortion. Another testimonial. Before he started trafficking me, my trafficker took me to a clinic. He pretended to be my uncle and had the doctor administer Depo-Provera to me. I got intermittent Depo-Provera shots from the time I was 13 through the time I was trafficked until the age of 23. Next, my trafficker advertised me as someone who would not be using a condom, and so after a weekend of being sold at upscale hotels, he would force me to take Plan B. I had Plan B so many times that I had gynecological problems for 5 years after I got out. The next testimony. I was trafficked when I was a child. I had so many abortions and was back out, quote unquote, on the track again right afterward, and had so many untreated infections that I developed scar tissue, PID, and ultimately had to have a hysterectomy. The pain of not being able to have a child now that I'm happily married is too great to describe in words. Again, what you've just heard are real accounts of women who survived sex trafficking and by God's grace were rescued out of it. Yet they did experience forced abortions by their captors. Sadly, this happens too often right here in America as well as in other nations. Modern-day sex slavery is what sex trafficking is, amongst other things. It's evil, wicked, and devastating in so many ways for the victims. Yes, sadly, the tragic and very wicked industry of abortion is an evil twin to sex trafficking. The abortion industry works hand in glove with sex trafficking as one aids and abets the other. Many are the victims of both hideous and dark industries. It's so critical that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, recognize and passionately mobilize to aggressively work to end both tragic industries. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, we're told, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." These two industries represent the epitome of what the devil seeks to do to all human beings on this planet. It's true that he seeks to steal from, kill, and destroy all people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to all of these and all the other ills in our world. And we, the church, are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. We're called to pray diligently and passionately for the ending of the work of both these dark industries. However, it's so important that we understand that we pray and then we get up and do what we're called to do to help end these tragic works of darkness. Where does the church start? A great starting place is educating yourself and your church family about these works of darkness. Research and find out about ministries that are on the front lines coming against both sex trafficking and that are opposing abortion. Look at the websites of Christian ministries that are working faithfully to combat sex trafficking. Typically, they are well prepared to educate believers about the dark organizations that are involved in sex trafficking. Pray for these ministries and give to them financially to help them carry out the vital mission that they carry out. Help to sponsor Bible studies or workshops or events that can serve to educate your church family about these kinds of issues. Find out ways to help extend the educational reach of these ministries. Also learn more, much more, about so much of what the ministry of Standing for Life is about. There are many great ministries that are doing great things to help the cause of life. Pregnancy Help Centers are ministries that provide free help to women who find themselves expecting a baby at a difficult time in their lives. Praying for pregnancy centers and giving financially to help them carry out their mission are two great ways many believers can get involved. Volunteer your time and or help to give baby items such as diapers, baby bottles, baby clothes, etc. to the clinics. You can pray for women who go to abortion clinics that they'll change their minds and choose to keep their babies. Many people would be surprised at the number of women who go to abortion clinics to get abortions, but change their minds and decide not to abort. This is the result often of the people of God praying behind the scenes. Believers can volunteer and be trained to be sidewalk advocates who work outside of abortion clinics. The Lord uses people who stand and pray, share pro-life brochures, and who are simply there to help women to choose to keep their babies instead of aborting them. They also very often help women see that choosing to place their baby up for adoption is a very good, noble, and fruitful option instead of abortion. There are also many other great ministries that help to address many sides of the pro-life cause. Prayerfully decide to get involved where the Lord wants you to get involved. Whatever you do, don't stand on the sidelines. There's too much work to be done for any of us to do that. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, there are three persons who represent the church. They're the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. Read Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. In the parable, a traveler's been attacked, beaten up, robbed, and left severely wounded on the side of the road. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. The title of this article was Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. We'll be right back.
Thank you. You speak from heaven, we call it thunder. You are amazing. You smile from heaven, we call it rainbow. You are amazing. And you look from heaven, we call it sunshine. That's amazing. And you made me in your likeness, super amazing.
Music of Dunson Oyakhan with Amazing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We were sharing before the break from the article entitled Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins, picking up near where we left off. There are also many other great ministries that help to address many sides of the pro-life cause. Prayerfully decide to get involved where the Lord wants you to get involved. Whatever you do, don't stand on the sidelines. There's too much work to be done for any of us to do that. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, there are three persons who represent the church. They're the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. Read Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. In the parable, a traveler has been attacked, beaten up, robbed, and left severely wounded on the side of the road. The priest comes along, sees the wounded man, and passes by on the other side. The Levite, too, comes along, sees the man wounded, and he too passes by on the other side. Yet the Samaritan comes along and sees the wounded man and reacts very differently. He stops and seeks to nurse the man and his injuries and help him to a place where he can receive further help and attention. He also spends money to help see after his needs. The Lord Jesus very specifically told the lawyer and all the rest of us in the church to go and do not as the priest or the Levite. Christ told us to do as the Samaritan did. He told us to sacrificially love our brothers and sisters in need in this world. Brothers and sisters, let's love the Lord enough to do what he says. Again, the title of that article, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at my email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. We're honored to have with us in studio today a young lady that is now an intern here at AFA, but also has been on a wonderful journey of serving the Lord in different capacities. This is Kate Garner, a Kingdom Warrior, and we're glad to have her with us today. Kate, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you today. I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself to our listeners, whatever you feel like you'd like to share. And then we're going to talk about a ministry in the past that you've been involved with as well.
Yes, well, I'm a college student at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. I'm involved with Turning Point there. Grew up in church, have a wonderful family. I'll share a bit of my testimony and how I kind of came to know the Lord and then everything with ministry that he has led me to do and be involved in. So I was saved at the age of 4. I have wonderful parents. I was very young, but it was a true salvation. I know that because I can see the evidence of fruits in my life afterward. And immediately, I felt a desire to serve God, even at that young age. And I didn't know how to do that, especially being so young. I was like, how do I serve the Lord? I'm too young to do anything. So I kind of tried to get involved, but, you know, I was just in Sunday school, so there was nothing really for me to do except for color pages and stuff, you know? So I wanted to serve God. I didn't know how. I had a great grandmother who was a missionary to India, and I looked up to her immensely. We had the same birthday, you know, so more of a reason to look up to her. And she would tell me these stories about her evangelizing to these to the Indians, and it just grabbed my heart. And I wanted to go overseas, and I wasn't quite sure what that looked like because growing up, I knew I couldn't be a pastor, but I wanted to be a mission, so it meant I had to go overseas, was my conclusion of that. I wasn't sure how God wanted to use me. So then I hit youth group, and it was just a shock, honestly, because there were some students in there who weren't following the Lord with all their hearts. And I realized I started bending to the culture of that youth group. I heard someone said that the hardest time for a Christian young person is not when they're interacting with the world, but when they're interacting with those who call themselves Christians but aren't. And that was confusing for me. Very confusing as I kind of reached that age. And I was looking around and I was like, why do I have conviction and no one else does? And I was upset at God for many years because I didn't want to be a crazy Christian was what I called it. I was like, why do I have conviction? Why am I upset? Why do I have to go overseas and have these sacrifices and no one else gets to do that? Like, why can't God just relax his grip on me was my feeling. And I was really angry at God about that. Because I didn't want that conviction, but yet I had it. And so for many years, I tried to fight the Lord over it, tried to live life my own way. I still believe I was 100% saved because I was such a strong conviction. It was just I was trying to live two different worlds. And I was really struggling with like the lordship part of my life because my problem was I didn't think God would be good to me. I knew he had a plan. I knew that. But would the plan be what I wanted? And that was more the thing. Like, was his plan actually good? And what my definition of good was not what aligned with his. And it took me a while to realize, like, it doesn't matter what happens to me in my life or what I deem as success. All that matters is having a good relationship with him. And that is what is good for my life. So once I realized that, I started getting involved in ministries. I was like, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. I don't really care at this point, you know, because your way is better than me trying to fight my own way through it. And around that time, I started getting involved with Christian ministries, one of the ones that we're going to be talking about today. And the Lord's just led me through that journey to get closer to him, but specifically to see ways that I can try to build up the church around me. And currently, I mean, that's led me to AFA. So I'm grateful to be working here this summer, and we'll see kind of where the journey goes. But that's a little bit of how I got into everything like this.
Mm. You know, Kate, I appreciate you sharing your journey there. And, you know, good to hear, too, that you shared how that you gave your life to the Lord at such a young age. But at the same time, everybody's journey is different. Everyone's journey is different. So, but it's wonderful when children come to know the Lord. And sharing about your convictions, too, your conviction to do ministry. You know, we're all called to boldly and diligently obey God, to live the life of a believer on mission, whether we understand that or not. So it's good for us to grow to that point. I'm going to ask if you, would you pray for listeners to have ears to hear any and all that the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Yeah, for sure. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to talk today. I pray for the listeners. I pray that you would convict their spirit. I pray that they would know whatever we're saying is not a we're not trying to get them to have conviction. If they have conviction, that's from you alone, so that they would be attentive to that and listen to that. I pray that they would apply everything in their life. I pray that you would just touch them, that they would feel that this is specifically for them at this time, and that you would just light their hearts on fire for you throughout this time. Just amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, again, good to have you as an intern here at AFA for the summer, Kate. But you also, in the past, you work with the ministry Johnny and Friends, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I want to invite you to share with our listeners about that experience in working with that ministry.
Yes. So many of you are familiar with Johnny Erickson Tata. She is the founder of the organization. Wonderful lady. You should read her books. She has a lot of experience and great wisdom when it comes to suffering and individuals with disabilities. Specifically, I had the wonderful opportunity to work with Johnny and Friends here in the Southeast. And I got into that through my church, who would have volunteer organizations, and we would go volunteer as buddies or for the summer camps. And at first, it was a mission field I didn't quite understand, honestly.
Now, where is that ministry located?
It's located in California, but they have headquarters or I would call regional areas all throughout the states. So there's one in Tennessee, one in Mississippi, I believe Oklahoma, California, Colorado, like all over the place.
Some branches, different
branches
of the ministry.
Yeah.
So can you summarize for us what, in essence, is the mission behind Johnny and Friends?
Yeah, well, it's to reach the families and the individuals impacted by disabilities and ultimately to reach them for Christ. The summer camps, as well as provide respite to to provide care and rest for the families and as well as the siblings of those to restore marriages. You see a lot of these families, and they're torn apart because they have a child who has a disability, and that really puts a lot more stress. You think about financial stress and how that can tear marriages apart, but think about having a child with disabilities and what that would do. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my favorite parts about the organization is that we'll have like these marriage retreats, or they also have wounded warriors for those that have maybe lost an arm or had PTSD. So they really go into those niche areas of those who have suffered and kind of trying to rebuild and restore the families and ultimately bring them to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I can imagine that many people have heard of the ministry of Johnny and Friends, but really didn't know what the mission entailed, so... appreciate you sharing about that then. So tell us more about your experience in working with the ministry.
So I volunteered for the first 2 years through my church, but then I had the incredible opportunity to work as an intern a few summers ago. And so what that kind of looked like was leading devotions, helping lead some of the summer camp administration. But really, I also had got the opportunity to participate in a course called Beyond Suffering, and just opened my eyes to kind of see the need that was there. So specifically coming, I feel like disabilities or people impacted with disabilities, like it's actually one of the largest unreached people groups in America, actually. And people don't know that. People think that because they may have an intellectual disability that therefore they cannot accept the gospel. So people just don't reach out to them, especially as well as to the families that are around them, because they're hard to get to, or they're unable to go to church as well, because who's going to watch their child, you know, while they're participating in church? In fact, we have some really good friends, and she is, the mom has just had a really hard time being able to participate in the fellowship of believers because she cannot get away from her child care and that responsibility. Mm-hmm. So I have a really a large heart for that and the needs there. Something that really has just grabbed my heart is I got to lead or help lead a Bible study for a lot of these women with disabilities, and hearing them talk in their spiritual wisdom that was far beyond any of their ages. I was talking to this 13-year-old girl, and she talks and is spiritually further along in her life like a 60-year-old woman would be, because she's dealt with so much and she has so much experience. Like, she would talk about forgiveness and forgiving those that have hurted her, and I've never had to have that much forgiveness as she has had to show to those around her. And so it was incredible seeing, like, we've had a few of those ladies pass away, and that's been really just a tender, beautiful thing. But it's an area of life, like, just because someone is nonverbal does not mean that they don't have spiritual souls. It makes me think of the verse, I forget where it is, but it talks about when we don't have the words to say, the Spirit intercedes for us. Mm-hmm. When we have groans and murmurs that we don't even know how. And I think about during the prayer services, we'd have a student or a camper, you know, be like groaning and stuff. And it just made me think about that verse, you know, like they'd be trying to pray. No one else understands their words, but Jesus does. And how a beautiful thing that is, that he's a savior. He's created them. He's perfectly designed them, and they are beautiful and perfect in his eyes. And they have a soul. Just because we're not able to understand them doesn't mean that they don't have spiritual needs, and they still aren't sinners, and they still don't need a savior.
Well, and you know, again, do appreciate, Kate, you pointing that out in it, because that's a reality that to one of the points you've made, that's a mission field in and of itself in our culture that often is missed. The fact is, many a caregiver, they don't get to church because they're taking care of a loved one. And they'd love to be in church, would look forward to the opportunities to be in church, but just don't manage to be there. But when churches make it a point to figure out ways to minister to families like that, it's wonderful. It's a great thing. And so I guess in part, Johnny and Friends maybe gives direction about how churches or individuals can do that sort of thing. Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we appreciate, again, you sharing about that. And also, you mentioned you've had a heart for ministering to nursing homes as well as daycares as well. Tell us a little bit more about your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, my mom, I have a great parents, great family, and they would always take us to nursing homes so we'd sing or interact with the elderly individuals there. And, you know, as a young child, that's not the most exciting thing to do. But I've really come to love that, because you're seeing these patients and their life stories right there. And they have no one. I heard a story, I believe it was my mom or my sister told us, that they went and they volunteered or worked at one of these nursing homes. And one of the individuals there grabbed them by the arm and said, thank you for letting us know we're not forgotten. Mm-hmm. And like how impactful to think that they're sitting there and they've lived all their life. And the sad thing about nursing homes and it normally is because they don't have a family to take care of them. And that's a whole other topic is how Christians should be taking care of their grandparents. They should be. It talks about do good, especially to those that are in the household of believers. And it talks about the qualifications for deacons and elders and be keeping their family in order. And that's what that means. That is extended family as well. So, but you see the needs of those that are in there and the hopelessness that they have. Like talking to these people and you think that I had the misconception that everybody who was older was a Christian, which is not true. I don't know why, but everyone I knew who was older was a wonderful bastion of virtue. And that's not the case, you know? Mm-hmm. Talking to these older individuals, they're lost and they're hopeless and they need a savior. Even if we think they're closer to their death, that doesn't mean that they are less valuable and they're still needing a salvation even in their older years, like the thief on the cross, you know, right before. Like there's never a time, no old or too young, to accept Christ.
Right, right. Well, Kate, again, thank you so much for being with us today and just sharing some of your journey and following the Lord. A blessing to hear you share from your heart about that. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back. Of Rebecca St. James, Kingdom Come. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Kate Garner. She's an intern here at AFA and has been sharing some about her journey in serving the Lord in different capacities, as well as she's presently a college student as well. Mm-hmm, correct?
That's right.
What year is this for you?
I'm going into my junior year.
Your junior year. All righty then. All right. You wanted to share too, and let me just mention this, that I appreciate you sharing about all that you shared thus far, but also too, you know, as I shared at the beginning of the broadcast, the Ten Commandments Project is a project that's geared towards young people and children. It's a discipleship project. It's a fun project and an exciting one. At the same time, it's a very serious project in that because it helps us to carry out to be involved with the carrying out of the Great Commission, going to all the world and making disciples of people, children, adults, and everyone else as well. And it's important to understand that we're to make discipling children the priority God would have us to make it. And sadly, in too many ways, it's an overlooked area of ministry, though. So, but you were going to share some about your journey in ministering with children as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, I was saved at a very young age, at the age of 4. And, you know, it's discouraged to accept Christ at a very young age because parents are worried that that's not going to be a legit conversion. And that can be partially true. Like, you want to be wise about, you don't want to confuse your child. But there's lots of time you don't want to hinder the little children from coming to Him. And that's an area that we don't think that we can be hindering the little children from coming to Him. And I think we do that. Sadly, in areas that we don't think we are, like when we hand them baby food, spiritually baby food, you know, and we give them infant milk, and it's like they can handle so much more. I think about it doesn't add up how these parents will let their kids watch horror movies and they won't talk about martyrs because, oh, that's just too intense for their child. But yet they're letting their child do this. Like, we need to be feeding our child everything that they can handle and they can grasp. And back to that, I'm not condoning children watching horror movies, but it doesn't add up. You know, parents should not be saying one thing and then doing a different thing when it comes to raising their child in a spiritual way.
And Kate, to your point, you know, that's a very powerful point that, you know, the things we allow our children to be exposed to in the way of media, TV, movies, that sort of thing those are very impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Yet at the same time, we need to guide, mold, shape, and challenge our children to be involved in work. They should be trained to be missionaries in this world too.
Yes.
So that great point. I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I think about the two main reasons, and specifically I'm talking about children under the age of 5, that age before when parents think, oh, they can't, they're not responsible for their actions. Well, that's not true. If they're old enough to sin, they're old enough to be responsible for their actions.
That's
if they're old enough to sin, they're old enough to also, in their own understanding, turn towards Christ in the way that they can. I'm convicted about the story of Samuel and how at a very young age he was given to the Lord. And he was raised in the temple, and it says when he had just been weaned, which means around, he would have been around 3. He would have been very young, let's put it that way. And it says he began to serve the Lord there in the presence of Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And he began to serve the Lord, not Eli. He was able in his own understanding to serve the Lord at that very young age. And we don't give our kids enough credit. If they're able to do this, if they're able to cut, they should be with scissors. If they're able to be mean to their siblings, they should be able to also, you know, serve the Lord in their own capacity. I don't care. Hold the doors open on Sunday morning. Hand out bulletins. Help sing. Make sure that they're singing in their services. So they should be able to serve. But the two main reasons I think parents don't disciple their kids under the age of 5 would be, number one, they're worried that they'll get confused about their salvation. And my questioner added against that would really be, would you rather be so worried that they would get confused about their salvation that you don't share with them the gospel? Like, that is a concern that shouldn't be a huge concern. The concern should be that they're not getting enough spiritual teaching at all.
That's right.
I think about the verse that says, train up a child in the way he should go. You know, when he is old, he will not depart from it. And it's like, train up a child, not a child who is able to talk, or a child who's above the age of 6, or a child who we think is mentally there. Because that's not really our responsibility to decide who's mentally able to receive the gospel. We share the gospel, and then we let God have the fruits from that no matter what. And we don't want to have the responsibility to share the gospel, and then we refuse to with those just because we think that they're not all there. And that's often what we do with any of these categories of elderly or any individuals with disabilities or young children, is because we look at their intellectual capacity, and then we disregard their spiritual capacity, which we don't really know how much that they can take. And you think whatever they have, we want to fill all of that up with the Lord, and we want to give them everything they can take, and they'll take whatever they can get. We don't want to underfeed them. We'd rather overfeed them and let the Lord sort out how it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other reason is, honestly, and this is a hard thing for the American church to hear, but I think parents refuse to disciple their children, or they just give them shallow teaching under the age of 5, is an excuse for them to actually do other things. Like, well, why can they go to 5 days of ballet classes, but yet they can't memorize a verse? You know, how are they knowing how to do their arabesques and their pilates, or how to throw a football, or how to be on their t-ball team and going to the state and all this stuff, but they can't memorize a verse? That there's a discrepancy there when it comes to how parents are parenting their children. It's like, what do you want to be more important in your child's life? Do you really want them to be the star ballerina? Do you want them to be a discipler of Christ?
I want to ask, Kate, would you take a moment to pray for individual believers and for churches to better grasp what you're speaking of in them? Because one of the points you're very powerfully addressing, the fact is our children need to be introduced to Jesus early. You know, I think of the fact John the Baptist in his mother's womb responded to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And so the fact is, you can't start too early exposing them to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the things of God. But many children receive Christ at a very young age, as you speak of. Disciples should be a lifelong event that starts very much in childhood. So would you pray for individuals and churches to grow in their understanding of that, the need for that to be a priority and and a right understanding.
Yeah, let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for parents. I pray that you will give them the boldness, the discernment to disciple their child. I pray that you give them the energy. I think about the verse, do not grow weary in doing good. For in due season, they shall reap if they don't lose heart. And let the parents not lose heart at the very beginning of their child's life to think, I'll disciple them more successfully or fully when they're older, to think that now is the time, now is the day of salvation, and to take advantage of those precious times that their child, that they have with their child, that they would win them over for the gospel and do everything they can in their power to create disciples and to make disciples of all nations and specifically in their home. I pray for our churches. I pray that they would create godly curriculum that is not just age appropriate, but that was looking to challenge our students, that is looking to challenge our children. I pray for VBS curriculum, for VBS teachers, for teachers in schools and private Christian schools, for homeschool moms, that they would take the gospel and they would take these seeds and hearts that are open and waiting, and that they would just fill those with accurate teaching that is knowledgeable and that is theologically accurate. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.
And Father, to thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have, that you give to us as believers to be involved in the great work of discipleship. You call us to be disciples and to make disciples. And what a joy it is to be vessels your Holy Spirit can use to help people to come to know Christ, and then vessels that you can use to help people grow up in their faith, but also children. What a joy it is to teach children the importance of reading your word, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to walk with you, even as children. Lord, help us to be mindful, too, that there's no junior Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit will use children wonderfully, as he'll use adults wonderfully. Your desire is that we simply teach our children to be available vessels. And whether a vessel is 5 years old or 50 years old, you can do exploits through an available vessel. Help us to be diligent, faithful, and committed to doing the work of discipling our children and helping them to learn to walk with God and teaching them how to be involved in the wonderful journey of simply following Jesus day by day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, Kate, our time is almost gone here, though. Any further words of encouragement you want to share with listeners who, again, in words along the line of encouraging them in discipling their own children, but also being involved in the work of discipling maybe other children through their church or in their community?
Yeah. Specifically, I'd love to share a word of encouragement to those who may be young who are listening to this, because I'm 20, so I'm still pretty young. And I think about how the Lord has led me, and something that's been hard is wrestling with the verse to not be, do not let anyone look down on you because of your youth, and to think that we do, we as Christians often play a great blame game where it's like, in the future, I'm just not old enough to serve the Lord, or I'm too old to serve the Lord, or I'm too busy to serve the Lord. It's never time where, like, I'm able to serve the Lord. And I would encourage those who are young to not waste your youth. You think about, this is a very powerful concept, but the gift of youth, you know, like your presence as a young person and your diligence and courage, encourages those around you, your energy as a young person. You have the gift of youth just by you literally being there. Same with like a crying of a baby, bringing your children to church. That is a gift of youth. So I would encourage those who are listening who may be young to actually get involved and not wait and say, when I'm older, when I have more time, then I will. When I'm not going to experience everything this world has to offer, then I'll serve the Lord with all my heart. And then the same to those who are older, to not say, I'm too old to be serving the Lord. My time's over. I am done with everything that I want to be doing, but think God still has you here for a purpose, to get involved in that discipleship. Don't put yourselves in a box and say God can't use you at your age.
Amen. Amen. Would you take 20 seconds to pray for children that they would get involved in ministry too?
Yeah, for sure. Dear Jesus, I thank you for the example you've given us in the Bible. I love what Pastor Joseph said about John the Baptist in the womb leaping. And he wasn't even born yet, but he was able to rejoice and turn his heart towards you. And I pray that children who are listening or parents who are listening to this as well would not disregard their child's inclinations and their child's baby steps towards you, God, that they would encourage those and welcome those gladly. I think about Samuel and how the Lord told him, the Lord called him out and said, basically, I have a message for you and I'm going to start using you. And the Samuel was still a boy. And I think how God was using him, it was not based on his age. I think about Jeremiah 1:7. Jeremiah gets called by the Lord. And Jeremiah says, oh, Lord, but I am but a youth. How can I serve you? And the Lord says, do not say I am but a youth, but to who I send you, you will go. And whatever I command you to say, you will speak. So I pray to the children who are listening that they would realize that God can use them.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Kate, thank you so much for coming on and letting the Lord use you. You shared a lot in just a little while. We appreciate you sharing your heart. And you very much apparently have a big heart for the Lord, so keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step in your life and receive Christ, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us now and commit your heart to the Lord? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've ever done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey and follow you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. And that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. So we hope to hear from you again. That's joseph@afr.net. Also, if you'd like to get a copy of the article that we shared at the beginning, the title of the article, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins, we'll be glad to get a copy of that one as well to you. Again, same email, joseph@afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.